I want to read with you this evening, if I may please, a few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll break into the chapter reading there in verse 3, and we'll read through to verse 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 to verse 6. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. We know that God always blesses the reading of his word to all who believe. Let's take a moment to pray as we come to God's word. Our Father, we thank you indeed for the word of the living God. We're so glad we don't have to make up stories. We don't have to use our imagination to try and do something to enamor people or to excite people. But we simply come, our Father, and we preach the word of the living God, because that's the teaching of your word. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And Father, we ask that tonight there will be evident signs following the preaching of the word of God. We realize, our Father, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in. So, Father, we pray that there will be a light shining tonight that will overcome the darkness. There will be a word, O Lord, from yourself that will speak into hearts that are hardened, and that there will be a move of God tonight, the like of which we have not ever seen in a long time. We give ourselves to you, our Father. Thank you for the dear people that have come this evening, and pray that you will bless us together for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. A gentleman that I was reading about some time ago, a man by the name of Herschel Ford, and I like his writings for other reasons, but he was telling the story on one occasion when he was walking through Atlanta, Georgia, that he saw standing on the roadside a man begging for funds. And he had a sign over his front and back with straps on. And he said, I noticed the sign, and what it read was both sides of the gentleman himself. The sun is shining, but I am blind. He said, I felt for that dear man. And he was blind. I went up, he said, and spoke with him and gave him some money. And he was blind. And I had the conversation with him that maybe not only was he blind physically, but was he blind spiritually? And he said it turned out to be the case. And they had a great conversation together, and he was able to lead that dear man to the Lord. And you know, dear friends, there are so many today that we're coming in contact with, and they are blind, not physically, but spiritually. There's a blindness that has come into their lives upon them. They're blind particularly to the things of God. They're spiritually blinded. You see, when Jesus walked upon this earth, you remember, and you've read it in the Word of God, he came in contact with many people. Some of them he healed from blindness, and some of them he healed from other things. And we know that he is able, even today, to open blinded eyes, to break through the hardness of hardened hearts, to do miracles in the life of all who will call upon his lovely name. You see, we've just been reading that the devil blinds men, and he blinds men, dear friends, to the goodness of God. Psalm 33:5, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And I've often talked to men and women and said, if only they could but realize the goodness of God to them. and understand what blessings God has given to them. He has given to them health and strength and soundness of mind. He has given to them eyes that can see, ears that can hear, a body that can live and move and have its being and do whatever it is they want that body to do. And yet they can't seem to grasp the truth that that wonderful goodness of God, if it was shut off from them, they would be lying in a grave somewhere, and they would have been, they would have come to death, blinded by the power of the God of this world. Anyone who doesn't realize that the goodness of God is certainly blinded, and they need to understand that this great God of eternity wants to shed the light in their darkened heart, in their darkened soul. I heard a story recently of a little girl who got some dolls for Christmas, and she made a doll's house and doll's clothes, and she just loved working with her little dollies until one day mother heard her screaming at the top of her voice upstairs, and she ran up to see what was happening, and she says, I don't love my dolls anymore. I don't love them. I don't love them. I don't want them. Mother says, but you've always said from you received them that you loved your dolls. Yes, she says, but they don't return my love. And you know, mankind treats God in that way. God pours out his goodness on people, and they never think of returning his love. They have been blinded, dear friends, by the God of this world. The devil has blinded their hearts and minds. And those of us who know the Lord, who love these dear friends, we should take this on our hearts and on our minds and pray more intently for them, because that blindness is powerful. That blindness is eternally gripped them. That blindness is doing so much damage to their psyche. They don't think straight. They don't even imagine for a moment if God shut his hand upon their breath, they would no longer be here, and they would die in their sin, and where Jesus is, they couldn't be. The devil blinds men to the goodness of God. The devil blinds men to the guilt of their own soul. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, a person might look well to us no matter where they are. They might sound good. They might have a good job in this world. They might carry themselves with great pride in everything they do. And yet they're a sinner in the sight of God. They're outside of God's grace. And as God looks on the heart, he understands that if they died in their sin where Jesus is, they couldn't come. 1 Samuel 16:7 reminds us, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You see, dear friends, God is looking on every heart in this meeting this evening. And if the heart is filled with sin, and the heart is separate from God, then that heart is in danger, friends, of dying in their sin without God. That heart, that life is in danger of being separate from God for all eternity. Dr. Harry Ironside he's an old American preacher. Maybe you've never heard of him, but I love to read his books. And he was telling of a lady after a service that came to speak with him. And he began to open the scriptures, and he took her down what's normally called the Roman road. And as he opened the word of God, he explained that she was a sinner. And she said to him, oh, Dr. Ironside, it may be so, but I'm not really a bad sinner. And Dr. Ironside said that that's the case. However bad or good a sinner she is, she's on her road to a lost eternity. She's on her road to hell. And she said, oh, no, Dr. Ironside, that's not true of me. I'm not what you would call a bad sinner at all. I have to say, I'm rather a good sinner, and I do my best to do good. Oh, think of it, a good sinner. The Bible makes clear that's a contradiction in terms. Sin is sin and transgression is transgression, and it's bad enough to separate us from a holy God for all eternity. And that's the work of the devil, dear friends. That's not the work of God. You see, the work of God is to open blinded eyes. The work of God is to break into hardened hearts. The work of God is to come and touch every one of us outside of Jesus and cause us to realize that we need to believe on his name. Peter reminds us in 2 Peter 3:9, it's not the will of God that any should perish. That's an amazing thought. It's not the will of the divine sovereign that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not the will of the dying son, and I've preached on this before in this church. It's not the will of the divine sovereign that any should perish, and it's not the will of the dying son that any should perish. It's not the will of the detecting spirit that any should perish. It's not even the will of departed saints that any should perish. It's not even the will of dead sinners, Luke 16, that any should perish. The whole purpose of Jesus dying on the cross, the whole purpose of God sending his son, his only son, into this world to give his life a ransom for many was that he would lead men and women to God through Jesus Christ the Lord. John 14, God speaking to his disciples said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Listen, dear friends, the devil blinds men to the goodness of God, and the devil blinds men to the guilt of their own soul, and the devil blinds men to the gift of God. Listen to this, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The whole purpose of Jesus coming to this world, dear friend, if you're not saved, was for you, was because he loved you, because he wanted to save you. And there is only one way to salvation. There's only one way to that salvation. And that's not through some code or creed or some cause. That's not through some habit or habitual religious operation. But that's through believing the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had the privilege of traveling to America quite a bit in recent days and preaching over there to some of the ministries that support our ministry here. And I remember we were in Moody Memorial Church a few years ago, and the pastor there was on holidays, and a gentleman came to me and he said, look, I wonder, we understand you're a preacher from Northern Ireland. Wonder, would you like to come and speak for us in Moody Memorial Church? And I nearly had apoplexy just at that point. And I thought to myself, what a privilege that would be. And we went along to the church and we had the privilege of speaking in the hall, not in the main building, but in the hall. And what a blessing it was to see dear people coming in off the street of Chicago in some of the worst areas you could find, coming in without the Lord and going out wonderfully changed and saved, and to this day serving the Lord. You see, that's something only the Lord can do. I prayed tonight in the prayer meeting, we can't even create an anxious thought in dear souls. But the Lord can. The Spirit of God can. You see, that's the work of the Spirit of God, drawing men and women to Jesus Christ, speaking into their hearts and convicting them of sin, and then bringing them to true faith in the Savior and making them ready for heaven. But all the while the devil is working in the background, and dear believer, we need to take this on board and remember that he is the one that's blinding them. He is the one that is keeping the light of the gospel from entering their very souls. He is the one that is blinding them from the gift of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He blinds men to the goodness of God. He blinds men to the guilt of their sin, of their soul, the guilt of their soul. He blinds men to the gift of God. He blinds men, dear friends, to the genuinity of the Bible. He blinds them to understand that the Bible is real. Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. We live in a world, dear friends, today, which the devil has mankind mocking and laughing at the Word of God. They're making films all over the world about the Christians and all kinds of things that are happening. And all of that is causing men and women to disbelieve the genuineness of the Word of God. You see, the devil doesn't want our dear friends who are not saved. He doesn't want them to have a read into the Bible. He doesn't want them to understand that the truth will set them free. He doesn't want them to know that if they read the Word of God, it may have an effect upon them. A converted African cannibal sat reading his Bible as a European trader passed by, and he stopped and came over to him and he said, "By the way, do you mind if I ask you what you're doing?" "Oh," he said, "sir, I'm reading my Bible." "Oh," he said, "if you lived where I live," he says, "that's out of date. We don't read the Bible anymore. It's no longer essential. We don't believe it's true. It's really out of date." "Well," said the African, or the converted African, he says, "if that's the case and you had been visiting us today, you would have been my lunch before the day was out." You see, the devil blinds men and women to the genuineness of the Bible. The Bible is referred to in so many ways. We speak of it as God's Word, the good book, the Holy Scriptures, the sword of the Spirit, the book of books, and the living Word. And we call it so many wonderful things because we love the Bible and we love to take it with us. We love to open it and read it. We love to do our daily readings from it. It's miraculous in its origin, as is our Bible. It's miraculous in its durability. It has lasted longer than any other book that ever was written. It's miraculous in its results, transforming the lives of those who read and believe. It's miraculous in its harmony, aging from some 1,500, 1,600 years, written by 40 different writers, and yet coming together as one whole true word from God. It's miraculous in its preservation. It's been kept and maintained all down through these years. And what a blessing it is. And the devil is continually blinding men to the genuineness of the Bible. Beloved, let the Word of God do the talking. Let the Word of God speak through your life. Let the Word of God warm you if you're cold. Let it bring you to awakening sense if you're a backslider. Let the Word of God that might have been thrown away by you come back into your soul and bless you. Let the Word of God do the work that only the Word of God can do. The devil blinds men to the genuineness of the Bible. The devil blinds men to the greatness of the Christian life. John 10:10. The thief cometh not for to steal, but to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The devil says to the lost, look at those Christians. They don't have any fun. There's nothing nice about them. They're as miserable as sin. And for those who are saved, we know that's not true. For we have the Lord. We have peace. We have joy. We have the assurance of heaven and home. And we know that one day we'll be in the very presence of God. Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness, when I awaken in your righteousness and awake in your likeness. What a wonder. Isn't it amazing, dear saved friend, tonight to know that one day we'll close our eyes on planet Earth and open them the next second in heaven and be like Jesus. Oh my, I don't know about you, but I can hardly wait. What a moment it's going to be. See, I've made so many mistakes in this life. I've erred so often. What a day it will be when I waken in heaven, not because of who I am, but because of what Jesus did in this life. And I'll waken in heaven, and I'll be like Jesus. Old Principal Rainey, of whom a child once remarked that she believed he went to heaven every night because he was so happy every day, once used a fine metaphor about Christian joy. Joy, he said, is the flag which has flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence. My dear friend, Christian friend, the king, Jesus the king, Jesus the Lord, is in residence in your life, in your heart. And if we really want life, if you're not saved with a capital L, if you really want the assurance of heaven, then there's only one way to have it, and that's through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. The devil blinds men to the greatness of the Christian life. The devil blinds men to the grief of hell. Matthew 13, 41 and 42, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of this his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, the devil would have the lost person just believe that hell is a curse word. The devil wouldn't want to play on his mind. The Bible says it's more than a curse word. It's a place of punishment that the lost person will go to. The devil blinds men and women to the fact that hell is a place of suffering forever. Go into Luke chapter 16 and you see the two men from that story on the other side of death, Lazarus the beggar and the rich man who fared sumptuously every day. And when we see on the other side of death, we see the beggar Lazarus in Abram's bosom, and we see the rich man, he's in somewhere that's an awful place of torment. Wherever he is on the other side of death, he's in a place of torment. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You see, that rich man, even though he was dead and buried, he was conscious. His soul was still alive. His soul is an eternal living creature or being. And as he listens and looks to the beggar in Abram's bosom getting ready for heaven, he's conscious of thirst. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Not only that, but he's conscious of torment. For I am tormented in this flame. And then he says, and by the way, I have five brothers back home. Would you please send somebody to tell them the truth? And you remember what Abram says? No, he says, I'm sorry, I can't do that. They have Moses and the prophets. Whatever part of the Bible they had, that's what they had. And they would need to listen to them to get right with God, to get away from this place of torment. What an amazing place that must be. You see, the devil blinds men to the awful grief of hell. And that dear man, Lazarus, was getting ready for heaven, but that dear man who fared sumptuously every day would be tormented in that flame even to this hour. My dear unsaved friend, we don't preach like this because we don't love you. We preach like this because we love you and we want to see you saved. We want to see you climb out of the hole or grief of hell that will be yours if you die in your sins. Then finally, the devil blinds men to the glory of heaven. Revelation chapter 21 and 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. As no tongue can describe the grief of hell, no tongue can describe, dear friend, the glory of heaven. I would love to be an artist and be able to paint some of the most beautiful pictures we have heard of down through the years. You see, if a person could take a peek into heaven, they would run immediately into the arms of Jesus. They would call upon his name and say, "Lord Jesus, save me." And they would cry and they would cry until they were sure they were ready for heaven. A few hours before Dwight L. Moody died, it says he caught a glimpse of the glory that was awaiting him in heaven. Awakening from a sleep, he said, "Earth recedes, heaven opens before me. If this is death, it's so sweet. There's no valley here. God is calling me. I must go." And his son, who was standing by his bedside, "No, no, no, Father, you're dreaming." "No," said Mr. Moody, "my son, I'm not dreaming. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces." A short time elapsed then, following what seemed to be the family to be the death struggle, and he spoke again. And Moody said, "This is triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious." Let me ask you this, dear friend, if you're not saved tonight, what will it be for you this night if you close your eyes in death? The psalmist says, "I'll open my eyes and be like Christ." Where will you be? What will your end be? It's our prayer that even tonight you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be wonderfully, wonderfully saved.